If you would tonight, take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 14. I'm asking God to help us and teach us from His Word. And what a blessing this passage of Scripture and this challenge this passage of Scripture has been to me, to focus my efforts on things eternal and not be distracted by things temporal. And we have a blessed life, and we serve a blessing God, and He has made it possible that we can live a blessed life, but we can live a blessed life for eternity, and we should live every day with eternity's values in view. And what do you hold dear? What do you value? Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And I want you to pay attention to that last verse, the last phrase. The Bible says, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. That's tonight's title of the message, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Now, we come to this passage of Scripture, and it's easily misunderstood, and quite frankly, I'm a person that has deep love and a sense of responsibility for my family. And so when I see Jesus speaking to this guy, when he just says, and asks this of the Lord, he says, I'll follow you, but let me bury my father. And Jesus says, wait, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. My first response is, that's not right. I just want you to know something. If your first response to the words of Christ is, that's not right, it's not Jesus or the Word of God that's wrong. It's you. And there's this song that we sing occasionally. If you find when you read it regarding the Word of God that there's something wrong, well, there's something wrong with you. And so I've been intrigued by this phrase and this passage of Scripture. And as we put this into context, I believe it begin to make sense. And I think God will help us tonight. As I preach this message, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Look at the Bible says in verse 21. The Bible says, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, I want you to underline two words in verse 21. Me first. Me first. Now, you say me first and you've already got problems. We're to live for Christ first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Christ first, then others second. And me, I'm somewhere down a little bit lower. And that is the key to the fulfilled life. That is the key to a life of peace and joy and love and the fruits of the Spirit. That's the key to a life that's right. Not me first, Christ first. Now, this context and this time, we don't believe that this man is, and we can tell by the response of Christ, we don't believe that this man, as we study this passage, we don't believe this man is just asking, like my dad died yesterday, let me go put him in the ground and let's leave. But this was a common phrase and a common thing that someone would have said, let me bury my father. And basically that meant, let me get my inheritance. Let me fulfill my familial duty and let me honor my father so that I can get my inheritance. And just imagine what all we can do for God when I get my inheritance. I want you to know something. The devil has deceived a lot of people into believing that they can do something for God after something else happens. The time to serve the Lord is right now. Today's the day of salvation. Right now is the appointed time. The only opportunity that you know for sure you have is right this second. And if you need to do something for God, His glory, do it now. Now, you can guarantee when you read this passage of Scripture that this passage of Scripture and these words from Christ, "Let the dead bury their dead," does not mean that God wants you to forsake your family. No. Man came to my office one day, "God's calling me to the mission field." I said, "Well, that's great if that's what God's doing." I said, "Tell me about it." He said, "I'm leaving next month." I said, "Really?" I said, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to such and such place." I said, "Wow, how are you going to take care of your family? I'm leaving them here." I said, "You are not in God's will. That's not God's will." You see, the Bible in this instance is perfect, of course. It's always perfect. But it's also perfect when the Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother." So God's not telling this man, "Forsake your father." And if He's not telling him to forsake his father, what's He saying? What's He teaching us? We look at the context of the Scripture, and God begins to put things into perspective. And we begin to understand that the truth that must be revealed and preached and understood in this passage of Scripture is simply this. Live for Jesus now. Live for Jesus with your life. Put value on eternity. Because it's what really matters. It's what really matters. Let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. Jesus says, "Follow me." Oh my, we must follow Christ first. The first yearning of our soul, all Christians, not just preachers or missionaries or Sunday school teachers, all Christians, our first desire and our first allegiance must be to God and the will of God. And when we put Christ first, all these things, all the other things that concern you and burden you, they fall into God's perfect order. And God's perfect order is perfect. Follow me. Then the Bible says, "Let the dead bury the dead." I don't know about you, but when I read that, I see some zombie trying to dig a grave. Have you ever watched the dead bury the dead? The dead don't bury the dead. Real dead people don't bury real dead people. But what Jesus is mentioning here is spiritually dead people. Spiritually dead people. Let spiritually dead people deal with the things of this life. You see, the man who came to Christ, if you'll bear with me, it'll all come together, I believe. Jesus had been asked by this man, "Let me bury my father. Let me tend to the things of my life. And once I've tended to the things of my life and I've received my inheritance, then I'll serve you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead." You see, the work that Jesus is referring to, he says, let the spiritually dead tend to the work of the spiritually dead. Let the spiritually dead tend to the work that does not profit for eternity. Let the spiritually dead live their lives for things that will eventually rot and burn. Let the spiritually dead deal with things that do not matter for eternity. And as a follower of Christ, follow me, fish for men. Make Jesus Lord and King and first on the throne of your heart. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. It's fascinating. You come into this passage of Scripture and Jesus follows this with, this passage of Scripture follows some miracles. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. And I love the miracles. And I love when God does works in people's lives. Just think about Peter's mother-in-law. You can see it with me in verse 14. Jesus was coming to Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laden sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I want you to know something. There was rejoicing at Peter's house that day. Hallelujah. Then look at the next verse. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Can you imagine being those people that had been so that were possessed by demons. They were hurting themselves. They were hurting other people. And Jesus, with his word, cast out the demons. Hallelujah. There was revival in their hearts. God changed their lives. It was good. And I want you to see all these people and healed all that were sick. Man, it's great. And it's wonderful when God does a work in someone's life. It's wonderful. What did Jesus do? He healed all these people. Now, here's the question I want you to answer for just a moment. Where is Peter's mother-in-law today? Physically. Where is she? On the count of three, there's one word. It's four letters. Where's Peter's mother-in-law today? One, two, three. Dead. You're right. She's dead. But God did a great work in her body. Yes, he did. It was wonderful. But she's dead. What about those masses of people that Jesus cast demons out of them? Where are they today? Are they still part? Is there still a Jesus cast a demon out of me 2,000 years ago club that you can go see and see these people and shake hands with them and they'll tell you the story about it? No, because they're all what? Dead. What about all these sick people? Man, they were all kinds of sick people. And every last one of them on that day, Jesus healed them all. But guess what? They're all dead. That's right. Now, I don't say that to diminish God's working in our bodies. It's wonderful when God works in our bodies. The truth of the matter is, if we think about it long enough, we'll understand that every last breathing human being on this planet is receiving right now the miracle and blessing of life that can only come from God Almighty. You see, we're all walking, talking miracles. My eye, I'm just a hillbilly. My eye has a million working parts. And somehow, in vivid detail, it communicates the light and refraction off of your faces. And I can see the details off your faces and understand who you are. And I can develop a relationship with you. And we can communicate and we can love and we can give and we can share and we can be a community and a church family. I want you to know something. We're all recipients in this body of the blessings and miracles of God. And as we study and see what God has given us in the flesh, it's not primarily, exclusively, just so we can have a good time. Live it up and die. You see the miracle of creation, the miracle of healing, the miracle of God's moving on our bodies has a purpose that is far more grand than a life without pain, that's far more grand than a life without cancer, that's far more grand than a few days without some disease, but we eventually die like Peter's mother-in-law over something else, or like all those folks that were sick that day that Jesus healed them and genuinely healed them, but they eventually died of something else, right? You see, God's purpose in working miracles in our flesh is not primarily for the sake of working miracles in our flesh, but it is so that we will see and understand and believe that God is our Creator, that His Son Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that His Son Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for our sins so that we can believe on Him and have everlasting life. And so Jesus looks at this man, this passage of Scripture. He says, "Let me bury my father." And Jesus says, "Look, guy, follow me and let the dead bury the dead." I'm ashamed at how much we invest into dead-ended living. Now, look, I wouldn't shame anybody for having a nice place to live. I'm going to have a house tomorrow. I don't shame anybody for driving a nice car. I don't shame anybody for enjoying a vacation. I don't shame anybody for enjoying the pleasures of life. But I must tell you, if you begin to worship the things of this world, then you have picked an inferior God. You see, the farm may be a good way to make a living, but it's a terrible God. The school system may be a good way to make a living and an opportunity to do things and to be who God's called you to be. It's a part of your life, but it's a terrible God. I like fast cars. I can't help it. It's in my blood. I like racing. It's Bristol, baby, this weekend. But I want you to know something. That's a good hobby, and it's fine in itself, but it's a terrible God. Because of the end of a career, the end of a hobby, the end of a life lived for self is empty. Eddie Murphy, a very wealthy man, he said, I have everything I want. Why am I not happy? And I can tell him, because he should follow me, Christ, and let the dead bury the dead. Let's see three things here in this passage of Scripture. Number one, we look at the multitudes. The multitudes valued miracles. There's something that happens in this passage of Scripture that just blows my mind and has for years studying the Scripture, but I'm beginning to put the pieces together, and I believe the Lord's beginning to help me see. Look what the Scripture says in verse number 18. Now, just the context. He's just healed all these people. Jesus has just healed all these people. And more people are gathering. And I'm all about seeing more people come to faith in Christ. But here's what Jesus does in verse number 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now what does Jesus do? When a great group of people comes around me, I'm like, I'm going to tell them something. Preaching the word. Now, Jesus understood the multitude. It's not that Jesus didn't want them to hear the truth. It's not that Jesus didn't want to help them. It's not that Jesus did not love them. But when the great multitude came, Jesus' response was, hey, take me to the other side. I want you to see this. It helps me. Why in the world did Jesus say, when the multitudes came, take me to the other side? It was better for someone to be sick on the other side and to believe in Jesus and his power and the fact that he was God, that he was the Messiah, it was better for them to believe on Jesus than to receive his healing in the flesh. You see, Jesus gave small miracles like healing sickness in order that people might receive the greatest of all miracles. You've heard the Filipinos that'll be here on Monday. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. You see, if God heals my hangnail, I appreciate that. It feels better. But eventually I'll die and my soul will go somewhere, heaven or hell. You see, it's better. It was better for Christ to leave the multitudes, leaving them believing that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, so that they could have everlasting life by putting their faith and trust in him rather than healing them of their infirmities. You see, your infirmity is not a curse from God. If your infirmity drives you to faith in Christ, faith in God, then that infirmity is a treasure. Anything that drives you to Jesus is something that should be gloried in. Paul said, I rather glory in my infirmities. You see, the multitudes, what did they value? This great group of people, and you've seen them. This great group of people, they're like, oh my, it's healing time. I got this hangnail. I got this boil. I can get something out. I can get something for free. It'll be great. The multitudes valued the miracles But Jesus valued the greatest of all miracles. You see, as we study through this book of the New Testament, we'll see Jesus do this over and over again. We'll see great masses of people. In just a few days, as we look at Easter, there'll be masses of people on Palm Sunday laying out palms as Jesus walks in, goes into Jerusalem on a colt. They'll be singing Hosanna. They'll be calling out for their king. But I want you to know something. In just a few days after that, some of the same people who are crying out Hosanna, they want a new king to come in. They're going to be crying, crucify him. Why? Because what they wanted Jesus to do was to come into Jerusalem to become a king in the flesh and conquer Rome in the flesh at that moment. But Jesus' plan and agenda was far greater than a revolution in a short era. Jesus' plan was salvation to the ends of the earth for all people, for all times. And Jesus went into Jerusalem to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he went the way of a cross so that me, in 2019, can rest in the finished work of Jesus on Calvary. You see, God sees beyond today and beyond a life. And he did something that lasts forever and provides for us eternal life. Number one, the multitudes, they valued miracles. The multitudes valued miracles. Number two, we meet up with a certain scribe. A certain scribe, number two, valued power. Look what the scripture says with me in verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, folks, I want you to know something. Verse number 19 sounds great. And if it were all by itself, because it's not our place to judge someone's motive, we just have to believe that this scribe, who historically the scribes were in opposition to Christ, we just have to believe that this scribe really wanted to follow Jesus. But look at the context. Now, you and I can't judge someone's motives, but Jesus can. So this certain scribe comes to Jesus, verse number 19, and says, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse number 20. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What happened to the certain scribe? Only God knows, because he's never mentioned again in the Bible. He just disappears. You see, we get some insight into what's going on. This certain scribe valued power. You know what he saw? He saw an opportunity. He said, Look, no man has ever spoke with this kind of authority. And I'm in the business as a scribe of usurping authority over the peon peasants of this world. And so I'm going to get involved with him, because if I become a follower of the man that can heal sickness, if I become a follower of the man that can cast out demons, if I become a follower of the man that can do what he can do and teach the way he can teach, then I'm going to have all the power I want. And along with power comes money and influence. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus did not come to this earth to get power, to become a king on this earth. He did not come to get prestige. He did not come to build a fancy house and drive a fancy car. He came to earth for one purpose. Why? What? Pay the price for our sins so we can have everlasting life. So Jesus looks at this man and looks right into the heart and speaks directly to the heart of this certain scribe whose greatest yearning was power. He says, okay, foxes, you know about foxes? They have holes. Birds, they have nests. He says, but I want you to know something. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He says, follow me. Follow me. But it's not a promise of power and prestige. It's actually a promise of something far better. Now, it may not exalt itself with worldly goods, but it's better. He says, follow me. Follow me. You may not have all this and that and whatever you're wanting as far as the world's goods are concerned, but what I offer is better. What did a certain scribe want? Power. What did Jesus want? Eternal life. He wanted this man to follow him, let the dead bury the dead. He wanted this man to follow him and invest his life in eternity. He wanted him to live for Christ. Number three, we've seen the multitudes valued miracles. The scribe valued power. And then let's meet up with another disciple. The scribe fell off the face of the earth. So another guy speaks up. The Bible says in verse 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. What does this man want? We've talked about it briefly. What does this man want? He said, let me live it up. Let me be a citizen of both of these worlds. Let me bury my father. Let me get some things behind me, and then I'll live for you. And Jesus says, no. He says, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. What did this other disciple value more than Christ? He valued life. Now, this is the hardest one for me. This is the hardest one for me because I value life. I love life. I saw a bumper sticker one time, and it so described me. It says, I would rather be fishing, hunting, swimming, golfing, playing baseball, playing football, racing. There was a list like 50 different things of things. And I'm like, I like that and that and that and that. Eating, I like that. I like life. And you know what? God designed it that way. Isn't he gracious to us? I love life. But I found out a long time ago, the best way to enjoy life is not to grasp hold of what you can get for you, but to give your life freely to the Lord. To give your life to Jesus first. Live for eternity. And you know what happens? You get life too. You get life too. You see, God's calling us to service to Him. He's calling us to love God and God alone. When the Bible says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, a lot of us will say, I'm not an idolater. Hang on a second. What is it that you esteem more than your relationship to Jesus Christ? And all of us have those things that flare up at times. May God help us to crucify that and live for Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, if called to be a missionary, I would not stoop to be a king. Folks, I want you to know something. If God called me to be a trash man, I wouldn't stoop to be a preacher. If God called me to be, you fill in the blank, I wouldn't stoop to anything other than God's perfect will. And God's will settles everything. The first thing and foremost thing we should seek for is to do and fulfill God's will in our lives. And He'll show it to you if you'll seek Him. Scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. He'll show you. Another man said this, a man is a fool to exchange what he cannot keep for what he cannot lose. We hold on to our lives and we want our life's experience. And we say, let me bury my father. Let me live it up a while. And then I'll follow. Let me experience this thing and then I'll follow. What I've noticed is the folks who hold on and experience this thing, after they've experienced this thing, they look back on it with great regret. You see, if you'll put Christ first, all the things you experience in life will be fulfilling and complete and pure and right. A man is a fool to exchange what he cannot keep for what he cannot lose. Jesus tells a story like this in the book of Matthew. Actually, two things. They're called the kingdom parables. And the kingdom of heaven is our relationship with Christ. And the kingdom of heaven is what's most important. Living for Jesus. Jesus first. And Jesus says it like this. The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. That which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. What's that mean? Here's a guy, he's walking through a field, and in that field he finds a priceless treasure. It may be just a chunk of gold. I don't know what the priceless treasure is. Let's just imagine it's the biggest chunk of gold you've ever seen. He starts pulling grass and covering it up, packing it up, making it, hiding it, camouflaging it. And for joy, because there's a great treasure there, for joy he goes and he sells everything he has. Why? Because I'm going to buy that piece of land that's got that priceless treasure in it. The next parable. The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He knew pearls. He sought pearls. And he found one pearl of great price, the best ever. And he sold everything he had. Why? What would possess somebody to sell everything they have? They'd sell everything they had in order to buy something that was priceless and much more valuable, like a chunk of gold or a pearl of great price. Do you know who the chunk of gold is? Do you know who the pearl of great price is? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And folks, I want you to know something. You'll never go wrong selling out for Christ. Selling out for Jesus. Selling out for eternity. Because not only will you live a fulfilled life experiencing the joys of serving Christ, but you'll spend eternity reaping the benefits of a life invested in the kingdom of heaven. It was a pearl of great price. He said, I'm going to sell it all so that I can get that. That's what Jesus asked for. Everything. You know what's wonderful? When you give Jesus everything, he gives you more, abundantly more than you could ask or think in return. And it is exactly what you need as opposed to what you want that will ruin your life. What does Jesus say? He says it like this. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Live your life for Jesus. Amen.